They are one of the largest recipients of NIH funding. Their scientists played a substantial role in developing more than half the cancer drugs approved by the FDA in the last 5 years. Dana-Farber Cancer Institute has been making one advanced cancer discovery after another for over 75 years. At Dana-Farber Cancer Institute, what we do here changes lives everywhere. Find out more at danafarber.org/everywhere.
This Marketplace podcast is supported by Invest Puerto Rico. What's next in innovation? That's not the right question. It's where. Puerto Rico, more than just a tropical paradise, it's innovation's paradise, where startups and global players coexist in a vast and vibrant ecosystem, where talent runs deep, highly skilled, and bilingual. Plus, the island offers the most competitive tax incentives in the U.S. If you believe your business can go anywhere, Puerto Rico is the place. Find out more at investpr.org/marketplace. Again, that address is investpr.org/marketplace.
Could the federal government be headed for a shutdown? From Marketplace in New York, I'm Amy Scott, in for David Brancaccio. The end of Congress's current session is fast approaching. Lawmakers have until December 9th to finalize government spending for next year. But with the House and Senate focused on resolving their differences over the Republican-led tax overhaul, the appropriations process has taken a back seat. Stan Collender is Executive Vice President of Corvus MSL Group in Washington and joins me now. Good morning, Stan.
Good morning.
The government is currently being funded by what's known as a continuing resolution, but that expires December 9th. How does the tax bill play into whether Congress makes that deadline?
Because Congress has been spending so much time and energy and political capital on the tax bill, they haven't really been able to spend the time and energy necessary to do what they have to do to get the appropriations for the fiscal year done by December 9th. So the overwhelming likelihood is that come December 8th or maybe a day before, Congress is simply going to extend that December 9th date till, let's say, December 31st, towards the end of the month. One, to give themselves more time, but two, to give the GOP leadership the ability to reward members who vote for the tax bill more money for a pet project in their state or district, or do we punish members who don't vote for it by taking money away?
So the Senate GOP is planning to bring its tax bill to a floor vote as early as next week, and the House passed its version just a few weeks after releasing it. It seems like things are moving unusually fast, actually, but you say not fast enough?
If they do the normal process, that is, go to a conference committee, it could take weeks. But yeah, it seems to be moving, but the vote in the Senate is going to be very, very close. There is three or four members who have indicated they're not going to vote for the tax bill in its current form. And that could both either kill the negotiations completely or slow down the debate in the Senate until the leadership gets a chance to, let's say, negotiate a little bit more in depth with those members.
What are the chances that that appropriations process goes into the next year? I mean, is a government shutdown likely at this point?
If there's no tax bill by the end of the year, by Christmas, let's say, there will be an extreme incentive for the president to veto a continuing resolution or an omnibus appropriation or something that will keep the government open past December until he gets a tax bill. So if there's no tax bill, I'd say there's at least a 75% chance of a shutdown. If there is a tax bill, then there's probably a 0% chance of a shutdown.
All right. Stan Collender also tweets at the Budget Guy. Stan, thank you.
My pleasure.
A shipping law called the Jones Act has been in the news with concerns that it's hindered aid from reaching Puerto Rico after hurricanes Irma and Maria. The act says cargo shipments between U.S. ports must be made using U.S. vessels and U.S. crews. Turns out the act is also a snag for a budding industry, offshore wind. Marketplace's Jed Kim reports.
There are special ships just for installing wind turbines in the ocean. They anchor the towers and hoist the blades. The U.S. doesn't have any. Europe does, yet the Jones Act means they can't dock in the U.S. or its territories. Warren Leon is executive director of the Clean Energy States Alliance. He points to the five U.S. turbines that spin off Rhode Island's coast.
They were able to build that and work around the Jones Act. It would be possible for other projects to get built, but it does increase the cost.
To get around the Jones Act, U.S. barges got paid to haul parts out to the European ships. If not for the act, the Euro ships would have simply docked and stocked up themselves. Timothy Fox at Clearview Energy Partners says some states may want the Jones Act to protect and develop their own offshore wind business.
policymakers in Massachusetts and in Maryland in particular are vying to become the hub of the domestic supply chain.
So the Jones Act makes offshore wind power more expensive, but it could also spur the U.S. to make its own high-tech vessels to install giant turbines. I'm Jed Kim from Marketplace.
Any Italian imports on your Thanksgiving table today? Italy is one of the largest exporters of fruits and vegetables in Europe. The country exported 38 billion euros worth of agricultural products last year, according to the European Commission. That's about $45 billion. But as Lucia Benavides reports, the workers' share of that money has been falling.
Driving through the Sicilian countryside, you can see rows of greenhouses growing tomatoes, grapes, and even flowers under the hot sun. Yaya Diallo knows these fields well. He's an asylum seeker from Guinea, and after arriving in 2012, he sought work in the fields outside the city of Vitoria. The 10-hour workdays were strenuous, and he says the wages, 20 euros a day, went mostly unpaid.
They cannot give you a chance to rest, so you will go and work full day.
Diallo says the farmer eventually paid half of the wages he owed, and the refugee center where he lives reimbursed him for the rest. He now works there as a translator. Social worker Chiara Pitti says Diallo's story is just one of many. And on top of wage issues, workers have no legal protection.
So if they get injured or something, nobody look after them.
Exploitation of workers in Sicilian greenhouses is nothing new. Since the 1980s, various waves of immigrants have worked the fields, from Tunisian men to Romanian women to, now, West African asylum seekers. A 2012 Amnesty International report found that agriculture workers in Italy are often victims of severe labor exploitation. And academics who study labor issues say daily wages have gone from 40 euros in the past to as low as 15 today.
In all the world where we have some good people, we have also the bad people.
That's Francisco Ferreri, president of a farmers' union in Sicily. He says the Italian government should crack down more on exploitation.
I hope the government, the police, control more all the farm.
In June, an investigation into labor issues led to the arrest of two farmers. Yet the problem persists. In Vitoria, asylum seekers go to the main square every day to be selected for farm work. Contracts are rare, but it's a worker's need for money that makes it hard to turn down the job. In Sicily, I'm Lucia Benavides for Marketplace.
Finally, Facebook says it will let users know if they liked or followed Russian propaganda between January 2015 and August of this year. The company has said that as many as 150 million Facebook and Instagram users may have seen content created by the pro-Kremlin Internet Research Agency, much of it aimed at influencing the 2016 election. A tool to check if you've viewed any of those pages is expected to be available by the end of the year. In New York, I'm Amy Scott with the Marketplace Morning Report. From APM, American Public Media.
The world can be a confusing place for kids, and finding the words to explain it all can be tricky too. Introducing Million Bazillion, a Webby-winning podcast from Marketplace that takes your kids on exciting adventures to answer the awkward and complex questions they have about money. Each week, we tackle hard-hitting inquiries from kid listeners like,
what is a college account and how does it work?
I want to know what unions are and what they are for.
Why does the U.S. have so much gold in Fort Knox and what do they use it for?
Help your kids understand how money fits into the world around us. Listen to Million Bazillion wherever you get your podcasts.